Okay, I'm back. This is Matthew again with keystoaz.com. That's KeysToAz.com. And we're moving on. This is the second part of a four-part series on the tax benefits associated with owning your home. The second part here, we're going to talk about business use of home. And Cooper McGeorge is going to get into all the nuts and bolts on that. So without further ado, let's get started.
Cool. Yeah. What else you got for us here?
I'd like to talk about the business use of home because I think that's another big step for folks that either are own their own business or they're employees of a company that expects them to work from home. They don't have a desk anywhere else. When you own your own business, it's a direct write-off at the top of your tax return. When you're an employee of a company, it's called a unreimbursed employee expense, and it'll be filed on your it's called Form 2106 that flows into your Schedule A. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's an itemization when you're an employee. Of business.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's fully deductible on the front of your tax return on your Schedule C. Which flows through to your Schedule C, which flows through the front of your tax return. So the only disadvantage in the employees on the employee side when you file it on Schedule A is that it's subject to a 2% floor, and the 2% floor means that you take 2% of your income, and you need to have the itemized deductions that are all subject to the 2% floor, and so they're all in one group, they need to be greater than the 2% of your income to take the next.
So you make $100,000, just for an even number, $2,000. If your write-off is under that, you can't take it.
If your 2% itemized deductions are not above that, you can't take a dollar. But if it... every dollar above the $2,000, then you can start deducting it.
Oh, okay.
So I want to start with requirements for business use of home. Business needs to be legitimate. I get some folks asking me if they start a consulting business from home and they don't have any income and they only have expenses, can they write them off?
Legitimate is showing some income.
Probably.
Having some invoices.
Income's
and stuff,
the
right?
Number one place to start, okay? And if they're not looking like they're going to make any income in the next 3 years, I usually say, hey, not a good idea, okay? It must be your principal place of business. So you're meeting clients at your house, you're doing paperwork at your house, kind of thing. And then... you got to use it regularly and exclusively. So a lot of times you can't have an office with a desk, you know, and you meet clients there and then you go back home to do a little bit of your paperwork. And that, you know, it's got to be, that's where you conduct your business. And it's got to be exclusive for business use. So, and I've even had IRS, for some of my clients, IRS auditors come into folks' home. And they'll check the square footage, which I'll talk about in a minute here. But they'll actually check to see if there's any personal use items or activities in their business area, because it needs to be completely business and no personal use. Okay. So jump into the calculating your business area. I was talking about square footage. How to do that, and this is important to take some of these expenses for the business use of home deduction. To get your area, you divide the square footage of your business use area divided by the square footage of your building or your home. Okay, that's going to give us a percentage. This percentage can be deducted against, which are allowable deductions, are indirect expenses. Indirect expenses are going to be utilities, cleaning services, repairs, you know, other maintenance for the entire house that you do for the entire house. So we're going to prorate that to just your business area.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
So you got a 1,000 square foot home. This is just...
for sake of easy numbers, 1,000 square foot home, use 100 square feet. You have a really small office.
Yeah, 10%.
10%, and your overall utilities and repairs for the year were $1,000. Multiply, take 10% of that, so you wrote off $100.
$100 on, yeah, okay, of a write off. There's also what we call direct expenses. Direct expenses are going to be things that you buy just for the solely for the office. So maybe a computer, software programs for the office, home office chair, mm-hmm, you know, things that you just buy for the office that, depending on, you know, maybe the software will go on your Schedule C anyways, but you know, things that would just be for the mm-hmm business use of home office. But no other room in the house. You see what I'm saying? So those are direct expenses.
Yeah, I got a question a while ago that was to be relayed on to you from a client that has a area in her garage. It's a separate area. Yeah. She wants to use it as a personal training area where she can train clients. So, for instance, I know it has a wall air conditioner. If somebody was replacing like the air conditioner for that, would that be a write off against the business, or would you take a
if it is solely for the purpose of that area, the business mm-hmm area, then it's a direct write off.
Okay.
Technically in that instance, it would be a capital asset to be depreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is for the entire home, it would be. It would be prorated, so multiplied by the percentage there. So,
mm-hmm,
so we have all of our deductions. We have our direct expenses, indirect expenses. So I wanted to jump into the depreciation that goes into the business use of home. What happens here is let's say we have our business, and we have an income from our business, and we have all of our other expenses, and then we have our business use of home direct and indirect expenses. If we have any income left after all of that, we can take depreciation that is tied to the business use of home. Okay, so you can depreciate part of your home.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say your home's $100,000 and you have the 10%. We're going to depreciate the home over 27 and a half years. You get $10,000 divided by 27 and a half, and that's your yearly depreciation deduction. That's only if you're showing income can you take that.
Mm-hmm.
If your business use of home in general takes your income prior to taking the business use of home deduction past zero, then it's actually limited. It'll stop at zero and the rest of the loss will carry forward to the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's kind of dual tiered. So we take the depreciation after we take all the other expenses, but the business use of home in general can't take your business into the negative. Okay? Your income from your business into the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that actually applies to both the business income and the wage income from the employees mm-hmm that are getting that, you know, that are trying to take the business use of home for unreimbursed employee expense. They need wages to take that again, so they can't take their wage into the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to touch base on that business use of home deductions. A lot of people don't know this, but I deal with this a lot with Border Patrol agents.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take a lot of mileage off of business use of home or 2106 expenses, along with their uniforms, boots, etc. And in my mileage gets them the biggest, you know, the write off their trucks, for instance. Mm-hmm. And if they take $10,000 of 2106 expenses, I have to deduct that from their qualifying income when applying for a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So, although, you know, 2106 expenses gives you the opportunity to avoid paying taxes, just be careful when you do that, because it can also deduct how much income a loan officer can use to qualify you for a home loan.
Yeah, I have actually experienced that with a few loan officers before, where they're second guessing some of, you know, prior tax preparers, but they're new clients for me, and they'll second guess the deduction that is being taken So sometimes it's legitimate, and then sometimes it's not, and we'll amend the tax return and go through that whole process. But you're right, you definitely need to look out, you know, for not only the now with all the tax savings, but the future for when you do want to apply for a loan.
Absolutely.
Get that income up. Each individual's tax situation is different. And, you know, we just go into your tax preparer, explain the situation. Mm-hmm. And it's best to bring more information into a meeting with a tax preparer or more documents than not. Just hopefully they're all, you know, straightened out and in order.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good piece of advice there. It's good to bring more information to your accountants than not. And that includes your HUD-1 statement, your interest statement. What did you call it from the mortgage company?
The 1098 mortgage interest statement.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's important to bring in.
That can include insurance as well. Homeowners insurance, right? Or no?
Normally, no.
Is that allowed to be? It changes every year.
Homeowners insurance, that's separate. Okay. Sometimes they'll roll it up into your escrow, I believe. So that's typically separate. That's not deductible.
Oh, it isn't.
Okay.
So how does anybody get a hold of you?
I can be found online at mcgeorgeaccounting.com, or if you Google my name, Cooper McGeorge, you find me there. Telephone number is 520-610-2454.
And, of course, anybody that is looking for a home loan or to refinance, how do people get a hold of you, Ian?
They can call me direct on my office line, 520-577-4761, and on evenings and weekends, because sometimes people are looking at homes at that time, on my cell, 520-837-9949.
And if you're looking to buy or sell your home, you can get a hold of me, Matthew Jeske, here at 520-344-3481. All right, you've finished part two in a four-part series on tax benefits for homeowners. This is on business use of home. So if you'd like to know anything else about business use of home and tax benefits associated with that, go ahead and visit keys2az.com/podcast7. That is keystoaz.com/podcast7. That's the number 7.